Toby, hi. Glad you could make it. Yes. It's a bit of an odd morning here.
Yes, so
welcome to the madhouse. I apologise for Malcolm.
Don't apologise for me. Apologise for yourself. Did I not just tell you to fuck off and yet you're still here?
It's true, I am, yes, still here.
Hey, fetus boy, lesson one. I tell you to fuck off, what do you do?
F off?
You'll go far. Well, fuck off.
Right.
Judy and I were thinking that I could row back on question time tonight.
You're not going on question time tonight. You've been disinvited.
We've been prepping question time.
Why wasn't I told about this?
Why the fuck would I tell you about it? I've told you to fuck off twice and yet you're still here.
You should tell me about it because it's a scheduled media appearance by this department's Secretary of State, so therefore it falls well within my purview.
Within your purview?
Yes.
Where do you think you are? In some fucking Regency costume drama? This is a government department, not a fucking Jane fucking Austen novel.
Malcolm.
Allow me to pop a jaunty little bonnet on your purview and ram out of the shitter with a lubricated horse cock.
Your swearing does not impress me. My husband works for Tower Hamlets, and believe me, those kids make you sound like Angela Lansbury.
She's married, poor bastard. Never in my wildest days did I think I'd find someone like you. I like your style, you're swift, you're agile. Everything about you stays true. You stood before the sun, almost struck me blind. You're so damn fine. And I know you were meant to be with me, part of my design.
One time.
You be the song, I'll be your pepper. Give you flavor forever. Leave you never. Don't you know, girl?
Hi, and welcome to the Your Name Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And Douglas is still my name.
It is still your name.
Yes.
It's pretty good. When did you change it?
No, it's still his name.
Oh,
that's how English works.
Yeah, that's how English works.
I didn't get that.
Andrew is still your name. My name isn't him. I had to change it.
When? What were you named before?
Trinity, obviously.
But we're not talking about that yet. We're not talking about that yet.
You have to talk about Westworld first. Let's talk about Westworld, because
no,
this movie sucks.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're going to talk about this movie,
Word.
And you guys are going to like it.
All right. I like talking about it. I can't promise that.
So this week, the internet spoke. We had an election, and we...
Haven't you seen this year more than any other year? It's been real bad for elections.
Which is why we had an election for which movie we're going to talk about this week.
And like all the other elections, I think they got it wrong.
No, they didn't get it wrong. It was rigged.
No, right.
The fucking Russians hacked in.
Right.
And forced altered, me to watch it. Yes.
That's a conspiracy
the
theory.
Results.
All right.
The latest documentary, because this is the latest one of all of the documentaries.
Cool.
From Josh Kriegman and Elsie Steinberg.
Who are those people?
They're the directors who I don't know anything else about. I think this is actually the only movie they've made, if I'm correct.
Word.
They made a film following Anthony Weiner in his attempt to run for mayor in 2013, which was after his sexting scandal, in which everyone now knew that Anthony had a wiener.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be the only dick pun that we make on this podcast tonight.
No.
Speak for yourself.
Why are they filming you?
I don't know. I most of the time, I don't know why they're filming.
Are you somebody I'm supposed to know?
It's Republicans wrapping their arms around Republicans rather than doing the right thing on behalf of the heroes.
It was an absolute pleasure to see a Democrat not cowering.
Married to one of Hillary Clinton's closest advisors.
He never backed down from anybody.
A photo of an anonymous man's bulging underwear
was tweeted from Congressman Weiner's account.
Today I am announcing my resignation from
Damian.
Hi.
You come on here.
Yes.
Every week.
Unfortunately.
And most of those weeks, like at least one in every three, you will come on here and you'll talk about how much of a political science nerd you are.
Sure, that is what I say it all the time. Pulsi for life.
And you talk about all these politics things and then you look at me in the face and watch me just stare at you blankly.
Yep.
Just being like, what's a poly?
Just right? A blank canvas, just nothing. What geography, man? I don't
know. But someone made a documentary to explain it to me.
All right.
I'd like to ask you before I tell you what little I understood from this.
Cool.
All right. what is it that you felt this movie brought to you? Not so much that you didn't know, because that's a loaded question that you're going to tell me. You're going to get angry at me if I ask you.
Absolutely not. Right? There's things this documentary did tell me.
But what is it you felt in your realm of political interest this movie fed you that you could at least come out and say, here's something that I'd like to share with the world?
So for the three people that are like Andrew that don't know, that don't follow politics like at all, couldn't care less, all you care about is politics in comic books.
Look, it's only what John Oliver tells me.
Right. Anthony Weiner disgraced himself 4 years ago, 5 years ago at this point, by sending pictures of his weenies to several women. And the whole of the United States went, oh my God, he sent a picture of his penis to women. He's a monster. And the three people that didn't, he sent his penis to. So they don't count. And the backlash was so great that he resigned. And then at some point he decided, you know what, my ideas on my platforms are worth fighting for, so let me run for mayor of New York, because nothing has changed about me. I made a mistake, which I still think he didn't make any mistakes. It's like he sent his penis to women, grown women, and even if he'd sent it to me, like, none of that is important. Don't get it, but whatever. And while in the middle of him running again, it was exposed that he didn't stop when he said he stopped. Continued to send, like, he enjoys sending women his penis.
That's a thing people can enjoy.
I understand. I don't do it myself yet. But one day I'll buy a camera. I can truly capture.
How many pixels?
Right. I think the megapixel count on my phone is too low. I need a bigger, a Hasselbrand. this documentary, as far as he's concerned, didn't really show... like, didn't shed any new light. He was vilified for doing a thing that billions of people do. And his wife was okay with it for whatever reason. The thing that I was actually fascinated with was his wife. Watching her slowly decline as the movie went along. At one point she says... it's like living a nightmare. And I went, yeah, I can imagine that having a husband that continuously sends his penis to strange women is not the kind of thing you want to hear about on the news.
And you know what? As I was watching it, I kept saying to myself, boy, it kind of sucks because... even after that movie ended, she stuck with him. The only reason she's now finally... I don't know if they're actually divorced, but filed for divorce, is because it only recently came out that he did this now with illegal aged people and with babies in rooms and shit like that. So she finally said, all right, enough is enough. But even after all of what you saw on television, Andrew,
he still didn't go,
yeah,
I should stop this. He's like, no, my penis has to be seen by as many women as possible.
Make a sculpture. People will accept it. Put it in a museum.
It might fall off. We've seen it happen. The thing is, his thing about I should be given a second chance to run because the things I believe in didn't change. He made a mistake. I 100% am behind that. That is fine. If you do it one time, right? If his wife...
fool me once.
Right, shame on me. Fool me twice, you'll never fool me again. I think that's what George Bush said. He also shot the sheriff, if I'm not... I don't remember. Mixing up my references. Anthony Weiner is a crazy person. Right? I actually want his wife. That is the type of wife I want. I want someone smart. I mean, clearly smarter than Anthony. You know, she's clearly the brains of that operation. And strong and dependable, and she's all of those things. There's a guy that said he's married to an Arab, which, holy shit.
I actually didn't catch that the first time.
They had to go over it for me. I've heard people say mean shit in my life. And I've always, because I haven't directly seen it here in Jamaica, because it doesn't really happen. I haven't seen the type of racism you can smell before you see it. Right? The type of racism you go in and you go, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Smells like racism. Like, no one in Jamaica would have ever said that. I've never heard. Like, our thing is to call anyone that isn't white shiny. Like, that is the only thing that we have. And we don't do it out of malice. We just do it because we can't be bothered. Clearly an Indian man and Mr. Chin. Like, that is not even... Like, what are you people doing? But no one is saying it as a pejorative. But that guy looked and like, what? She is working with a lady that is soon to be running for president. Like, slow your rolls. Like, you won't have achieved a tenth of what this will achieve, and you have the gall to, like, that is, boy, I can only imagine the other things that were said to her. Like, following him is not what they should have done. Should have followed her and just try and walk us through the nightmare that her husband did put her through and is continuing to put her through. And but lady, you hung on for as long as possible, and then when it was clear that there was no saving this lunatic, you just went, I cannot do this anymore. So it was really, boy, it was eye-opening to see what it must have been. Because you never consider that side of the story. You never when someone is a disgraced whatever, you don't go, I wonder what his wife is going through. Because, like, Lance Armstrong was a hero, and then the whole world said, you, sir, are the worst. What was his wife or his children? What changed? Like, their lives changed in an instant. Like, everyone loved them through their father, and now their father is, like, even if people want to give them the benefit of the doubt, people are going to say mean shit directly to your face about something that you had nothing to do with. And yeah, it was crazy, like, watching her face just over time, watching her body language change, like, hearing the things that she said slowly. Like, the thing where the girl came to confront him and...
Oh, that's so fucking weird.
He kept turning to his like, are you okay? And I just wanted her to, like, open hand, slap him straight in the face. No, dog. None of this. None of it. Hey, I'm going to ask you, wife to husband, stop sending your dicks to people. Right? Go out there and tell all of them that you'll never be seen again. You're a stay-at-home father for a turn. Don't go outside. I'm taking away phone privileges. You don't get to have the internet. Since you want to be treated as a child, you need to treat you as a child. No more playtime for you. You take care of our children. You shut the fuck up. And let's move on with our life. Just, she continued to be awesome and he never heard from again. Change her last name back to her actual name. I'm rapping all of this.
Like, I imagine in that reality that as a child grows up and the child starts using the internet and she doesn't restrict his privileges, that the child is told, put a password on your computer and don't tell your father.
Yeah.
Always lock your computer. Yeah.
Never. Just listen. He cannot be trusted. Right? That's why there's no Netflix in our house.
So, like, weirdly enough, like, we came up here and you... Well, I don't even talk to Douglas yet because I don't want to hear from him yet. Right? I need to wean myself into into Douglas's views because
fair
good decision.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Stay over there. Right? I'll cut off your mic.
As soon as we're finished, it's just going to be like 15 solid minutes of dick jokes.
We came up here and you seemed kind of negative about this movie, but oddly enough, like, as you're talking, and I don't know if it's like you're just trying to highlight the good points, you seem somewhat interested, positive about
Andrew, stop trying to spin his hatred,
right?
His justified
right.
hatred for this movie into something positive.
That's fine. You don't have to defend me. This movie is terrible. This is a bad movie. None of the I don't know what this movie was trying to get at, but I didn't see it. He's an awful person, and he continued to be an awful person. I was just this was the only time you saw.
I wouldn't
saw
go as far as saying an awful person.
He was married. No, if you do it
he
when
was
you're
an
single,
awful person to his
right,
wife.
Right. Yes. No. When you're single, feel free to sell your dicks to as many people as humanly possible.
Yeah, he clearly has a problem. But anyway,
he was married and
fair
he
enough.
Did it.
I take your point
right,
from
and
that
then
standpoint.
She forgave him. And then he just went, all right, fuck.
She forgave me once.
I am
she
doubly
me
down on this. I was like, dog, what
all right.
are you doing?
All right, so.
But I didn't, like, in terms of enjoyment, like, I don't find him a fascinating character. He is just a dick that refuses to stop sending his dick. But watching his wife, and there wasn't a lot of time spent on his wife, so every time she came into the picture and they had her talk, I was fascinated by how she was reacting to all of this. Because I would imagine that she would have just been a steady level of upset from start to finish. But at the in the beginning, she was kind of, she's like, all right, listen, we went through this, and we talked about it, and we think he should still run because he might still do some good for the community. And she said all the right things, and she looked okay, and there was jokes. By the time that movie ended, there's no more jokes. There's no more jokes. So yeah, but the movie itself, right, boy.
So let me start out by saying I think I like this movie.
Cool,
right? And there are two reasons. There are two big reasons, right? Douglas is like he's now warming up the engine
right.
for when we let him talk. So, the wife, that is, like, the top reason. I think right. she is the more fascinating person out of all of the people we're seeing in this movie.
You mean the person that was in two scenes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Right. I'm coming.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That the was wife. The number one reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn off your mic. Stop it. everything that you said about her and all of what's going on in the movie, great. I enjoyed it. I found it massively interesting. The other thing has to do with the film itself. Now, you talked about you don't know why they were following him or what this film was really trying to achieve. And when it comes to the documentary, in my mind, there are two types of documentaries, right? There are documentaries where you hear about something that happened eons ago, and you go down the rabbit hole of investigating and talking to people, and you end up in this form of just presenting your facts to the world of this is what happened eons ago, and I find it interesting because of this. And there's the other type of documentary where someone finds out about something happening and just finds a way to latch themselves onto the thing as it's happening and film as much of it as possible. And then at the end, they have to cobble something together to be like, let's figure out how to make this into like a story where we're seeing that this is what was important with what happened in this moment, right? And this is one of the latter. And I actually find this form a lot more interesting, not because it's necessarily good or bad, but because in my mind, the concept of someone doing that and 2 years later, after filming all of this footage, having to pull it together to to make something where you couldn't have pre-planned it. You couldn't have said, all right, I want to do a documentary about Hitler and the Nazis. And you can do all your research and pre-plan and say, okay, I need that bit with that guy over there that we've already booked him to talk about that topic. And then we research around it. You get everything. This is something where you're going through it in live, in real time. And at the end of it, you have to say, this is what I want to focus on. And what I found massively interesting about this documentary wasn't so much Anthony Weiner, right? But was the way he was treated and the way we treated this story, right? So, like, Douglas was looking at me when I picked this movie with disdain and anger and all of those wonderful things that he's looking at me with right now.
Justified.
Just because it's a documentary, not because of anything else. And I started to defend my decision based on the idea of, look, this man did this thing, which I'm not going to say is illegal, but it's bad and dumb. And in the realm of bad things, it's nothing really to scoff at. But
if you're not married.
Right. And also.
It is fine.
And also.
I'd like to stress that. If you are single, dick pic away.
And also, herein lies the thing. In a profession that he's decided to be a part of,
mm-hmm.
where public opinion is a big factor in your...
Was the election, guy. There's a recent election that disproves the thing you're about to say.
That's an outlier.
It's a pretty big one.
It is. But, like, you'd assume that everybody who talked to him as he was going to say, I'm going to run for office again, says, guy, like,
no,
like you did the thing,
you
right?
You can't do this.
And let me make this clear. If when the original instance happened and he didn't actually resign and he just sat there on his pedestal going like, look, it wasn't illegal, fuck you, I'm staying here, I'd have defended that. That's his option to do that. Right? Just like it's his option to run for mayor again. But I think it's still insane because it seems like a lose-lose situation, no-option situation where people are going to chastise him for it. But that didn't happen. People were actually jumping on board with him at first. They were all going, you know what? You are, as much as we hated that thing you did, you are still that passionate person who wants to fight for our rights and fight for all of these things in...
Stop it. Stop. Don't laugh at that. You're a grown man.
Are you sure?
Damn it.
We've spoken to him for many years. I don't think he is.
Do you know where I'm laughing?
Yes. Because there's a specific right that you're fighting for. Does it involve a party word?
Yes. Yes. Everyone knew Douglas. Son of a bitch.
But more importantly, like as that event happened, as more dick pics occurred, mm-hmm. and it turned on him,
right.
where we started to see people turn on him, right. including the wife, right? Where we started to see the media turn on him, and we started to question the documentary turning. I started to question the documentary turning on him, where it became more of what we know the media to be, which is, holy shit, there are dicks over there. We're going to talk about dicks.
As an avalanche of dick pics.
I just thought of it as an interesting way to show how these things constantly get deviated from any form of importance to, oh, there are dicks somewhere we can talk about, right? I think it's kind of crazy, right? To the point at which, by the end of the movie, we have a semi-weird chase sequence of this woman who's become semi-famous, who, I don't even want to use the word famous, because I didn't know her name until this documentary appeared, where she's chasing him down for the sake of a TMZ video.
Of course.
Right? And it's just, it is it's an interesting documentary, not for the sake of talking about Anthony Weiner, or talking about politics, but talking about the media as it relates to politics, especially in wake of that said election that you're mentioning, right? Wherein repeatedly people have talked about how there have been worrying things that the media should be talking about, and then suddenly he throws a curveball, and then, whoop, no, we're talking about that thing. And it's just, like, that's what I wanted to focus on. Not on Anthony Weiner and his thing, but that element of it.
No, I get why that would fascinate you, because you don't spend anywhere near the time that a normal adult should spend following
Can
politics.
Can I ask you, how long does it take to become a normal adult?
I don't, for you, not sure. Should have happened by now. Pretty sure it should have. But yeah, this is what the media is. They look for this. Like, they need stories that will gain them viewership. Like you saw Nightcrawler. That's how the media works in all week. Like, if it's not dead bodies on the street, then it is political gossip.
Yeah, it's very simple, Andrew. Mm-hmm. You probably have 3, maybe 4 newsworthy events for the year. However, you have 3, maybe 400 news channels, mm-hmm, that each have content that needs to be played 24 hours right. a day. So
you have to fudge it at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, we could report on the news, but then no one would ever watch the channel
today
again.
In Saskatoon, there was a baby that hugged a panda.
No. That is also, like, that is the type
the
of
news.
Nonsense
yes.
that would actually get onto the news.
Yes.
But that is not actually news. That's not news. Right? All right. Let me make it simpler. If
yes,
you'd
please.
If it is a news, if it's an article that the Star would run, then it's not news. Think about every article you've seen in the Star. You go, yeah, that's what the news.
I don't think I've ever gone past the cover of a Star.
That is, but do you know what the highest selling paper in the country is?
The Star.
Exactly. And it is for that reason. No one wants the actual news because it is boring. News is boring. That's why I watch TV. We don't watch news, right?
I watched
our
documentary.
News is fine. Like, our news, we put it on once for the day, really. And everyone tunes in. I was like, well, it's 7 o'clock, so we have CVM news and we have TVJ news or whichever order it comes in. And that is it. We're done. All the news.
There's the midday news.
Tomorrow I'll read the Star for fluffy nonsense. And then maybe in the night, if I can catch some actual news while eating dinner, that's okay.
Yeah.
But, like, the documentary, the presentation wasn't great. I understand that a lot of it they had to film, and they didn't really, as you said, they didn't really know what they were going to do with all of it. But the presentation of the video, like, all of it wasn't great. How they, like, they talked to some of his staffers, but never in the way that you'd, like, never the questions you'd want them to ask, right? Like, they ask once, like, what did your family think about working for this crazy lunatic? And they're like, most of them said, you probably shouldn't do this. He's lost his fucking mind. Like, you wanted, in every instance, for them to, like, as the things happen, they're like, we're going to talk to him. But really, you guys, what the fuck is happening? He's lost his mind, right? Like, his full mind. And to watch him, like, you guys still work for him. Why? And that's the same questions you wanted to ask the wife. You're still here. Why are you still here? You should stop talking to him. I don't know if you've noticed. He's lost his fucking mind. But it's never, like, they had every opportunity to do that. But they're like, no, we want to. In fact, at some point he gave the best critique I've heard for documentaries in a long time. He's like, shouldn't flies on the wall be seen and not heard? I mean, that is perfect, son. You do have some sense. Why are you people talking to him?
Look, these directors are no Frederick Wiseman. And also, fuck Frederick Wiseman, I watched one of your movies. God, it's hard to watch your movies.
You guys don't like nature documentaries, so you don't get to see.
Have you seen Frederick Wiseman's docs?
I don't know if I have.
The only one I watched was his latest one a few years back called At Berkeley. It is a 4-hour documentary about the University of Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, it is almost like that Taiwanese movie, just a documentary, where he's a fly on the wall and he just cuts between all these things going on at Berkeley for 4 hours.
That's okay.
It is painful.
Nope.
And he is a revered documentarian.
Yeah, no, people get things wrong all the time.
I'm not going down that rabbit hole. Yeah. But anyways, Douglas, I think it's your time. You have 5 minutes to say all the dick jokes and all of the curse words you have inside you. You may now go.
People like Terrence Malick, so...
Andrew, I don't.
Yes.
I don't have...
And with that, Douglas is finished.
This movie... I have no inclination. I don't want to make any dick jokes.
Mm-hmm. It's that bad.
Andrew, I can't find the words to explain to you.
If I give you a pen, can you draw it?
How unquestionably just bad and useless this movie is.
Yeah, I think that is what annoyed me the most. I think that part. The fact that nothing could be gleaned from all of this time.
So, I was listening to you talk about the movie, but I need you to explain to me one more time.
1 + 1.
What? I know, 10. Chicken. But, Andrew, what? You started watching this movie, you continued watching this movie, and then you finished watching this movie.
I did those things.
And in that time.
In that time, please explain to me what. What was it that you were able to take from this movie?
His wife
with you,
a superwoman, and he's a no. I already knew he was a monster, and I figured his wife was a superwoman because she stayed with him for about 4 years.
I actually wouldn't use the word monster to describe him. He's not a good person, right?
He took dick pics with his child in the room.
True. That's not. But he strikes me as a fellow that he doesn't so. There is a certain level of intent that I associate with somebody I'd call a monster. Mm-hmm. I don't see the intent there. He's clearly not right.
Someone selfish he'd continue to do the thing that is destroying his family for his own gratification. What is that person?
Yeah, but he looks... You know what he looks like? Bad. To me, like one of those people that are just... what they call them? They just keep lying because they don't even know why.
Oh, pathological.
Yeah, he's just pathological. He looks like he can't.
If I don't document my penis,
yeah, and
it will change.
And what it is, it's a personality thing, not necessarily specific to the penis.
It seems specific.
It's to everything because look at, for instance,
I'm just joking. I know.
But I didn't hear the Arab part, so that actually, I think. At least gives him a little bit of justification. Yeah. But when that guy just riled him up, and instead of just saying, you know what, you're an asshole and walking off, he had a half an hour ranting contest with the man because he couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
And that I just see that as his personality. There are things that
he believes
and
will defend.
He's just pathological about these things. And... random liaison with people he don't even know is just one of those things for some reason, and that's not a good thing. Clearly, it's not healthy for his family, his relationships.
All right.
But I don't know if there's a true intent there for him to hurt people. But either way, it's the result is still the same. But Andrew, you need to explain to me what do you get from when you finish this movie? Your thought was this movie is great because...
Reasons.
Reasons. but I think I said it. I talked about the wife. We can talk about the wife all we want.
But Douglas pointed out correctly, she was in about, let's be generous, 10%
sure.
of this movie.
let's ignore that on its own. Mm-hmm. I look at the movie as its own critique of how media deals with these sorts of scandals, right? Where, for something like this, where, as we've all agreed, while bad in some context, and definitely something that would make you question someone in that position.
No, actually. Not at all. No.
I think the pathological part would make me question him.
Right. No, his insistence to continue doing it after his wife accepted that is what would make me like again if he were single and this came out I'd have gone you guys are assholes leave the man alone
but like, as the media deals with it, where they're like, we have these 10 important things we could talk about, mm-hmm. or some dicks. Because dicks.
Yeah.
Like, I find that...
I think they should put have that as a new segment, just because...
I look at it as this movie being a really interestingly formed critique of that system, mm-hmm. right? Of the way we look at our political news, right? But you can, as always, I give you the option of saying, fuck you, Andrew, you're wrong, and this movie, it continues to be bad, boring, and useless.
So perhaps perhaps there is that there is this critique,
mm-hmm. if that's what you want to call it.
Or there is some parallels between the presentation of the film and how political news is presented. But again, that still, in my mind, to me, is useless because... and I'm not somebody who pays particular attention to politics. I watch the news from time to time and understand how news is presented and understand why they present it that way and understand why I hate it. All right?
Same reason you hate documentaries.
So
don't like eating your vegetables.
The thing about this movie is, yeah. Let's look at the two major things.
I hate it so much.
This movie does, let's say it does two things.
Dicks.
One, it follows Anthony Weiner around on his journey to mediocrity.
Put as many dicks on the internet,
right?
As possible.
Yes. And two, if we want to look at it this way, I didn't see it this way, but sure, it tries to talk about how we present the news. Which one of those things did we not know everything about
heading into the
before
movie?
The movie?
I didn't know how many pictures he put on the internet.
All right.
So I got a solid.
Okay, cool. So it was 10 and not 5. Outside right. of that, mm-hmm. what did you not know?
I now know that I want to marry his wife. His
yeah.
former wife.
So we've got two things.
Yeah.
Right.
We've got two things.
But you see, that's the thing. And I'm
which
not...
is also a pretty... I
yeah,
like
that's
that
a,
name.
Yeah, that's an interesting
I like that
name.
Name.
Yeah. Cute. But so... And I don't... I ask the question not to say, if you know everything about the movie, don't watch it.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm trying to say. Exactly,
yeah.
right? What I'm more trying to say is... that first of all, the subject of the movie, the movie doesn't take you anywhere, right? It doesn't say, okay, I am going to start at point A, end at point B, mm-hmm. and there's a journey there, and there is something that I'm keeping you here for. There's something that you want to stay until the end of the movie for. It does not do that. What it does is it just says, well, he tried to run for mayor. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And it
didn't work.
It didn't work. And it essentially focuses on the fact that he is Anthony Weiner.
Mm-hmm.
He shows his penis. And people. he didn't win mayor.
Because of it, people didn't like him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I watched, and this is why, and maybe how I went into this movie helped.
Yes, it did.
But this is why, from day one, I was like, I don't want to watch this movie, because
the thing you thought this movie was
the biggest waste of my time.
Yeah.
It's
like a Google video could have guessed
yes.
to all of this in 5 minutes.
Yes, and I still would have thought that the
right.
Google video, the YouTube
yeah.
video... would be a waste of time
yeah.
because it I can't even find the words to express
it
how upset I am.
Yeah, I can't see it on your face. It didn't examine any of the things you wanted, like any of the things behind the events. It was just a catalog
yes.
of the events,
which in themselves are useless.
Yeah, but, right, because you'd have seen even by accident all
mm-hmm.
of these things
exactly
and heard all of the quotes and made all of the jokes and knew that it fizzled out
And what was truly interesting is watching him continue down this road, despite the fact that it is ruining everything else around mm-hmm. him.
When examining I listen to that, you, when I listen to you, you know, talk about his wife, who I didn't look at it that way, and I really like your take on it. When I listen to you talk about how his wife transitioned from, you know, where maybe not happy, but I'm right. supporting you, to just don't even fucking talk to me. When you think about Anthony Weiner as the character and not as just this stick that is moving, a stick figure that is moving from one place to another, which is what he's portrayed as. Right. You never go into him. You're just like, yeah, he's trying to win.
Yeah.
That's it.
He wants to win and people liked him, and then more dick pics came out and then people stopped liking him.
Exactly. And we're done. If you know, look deep into what potentially could be driving this pathological behavior that he has, that is clearly just infused within his persona. There maybe could have been something there, and I don't want to say that I would have enjoyed it because I don't know. But this movie failed on so many levels. It's not even. I can't even joke about this movie. Is how bad
that's
this
really
is.
Serious. This is serious, man.
And this is how Douglas died.
A single man or a serious man? Which one is it? You're a single man?
I'm a serious man.
Oh, you're a serious man. Alright, cool. Yeah, like
I'm also a single man.
Sadly.
No, you can't talk about Tom Ford movies. Tom Ford movies are too cool for you to talk about right now.
You mean a serious man?
I'm... It did waste my time.
Yes.
But I'm always fascinated by, women like Huma. Like, both in fantasy, like, people like Alice. And then when you see people like Alice from Luther in real life, which is basically what Huma is and what Hillary Clinton is. Like, women that defy...
Without the psychoticness.
We don't know that. We do not know that. There's no proof.
Without the murderation.
You can't prove a negative. You don't know that she hasn't killed people. But, like... Whenever the documentary about Hillary's campaign comes out, I hope it's not this. I hope it's not, she started here, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then she lost, and credits. Because that is a waste of time, as you said. I want, the insider view, what she thought as she saw herself climbing the poles, and when she could feel... one foot inside the door, and then for the FBI to turn it all on its head and throw up everything, and then the night of realizing what happened and how she dealt with, I want that, not just this, then this, then this.
No,
and
you know what I want? Here's what I want. I want what I'm sure is going to not actually be what happens, but I want the feature film of Hillary Clinton's life post-election, which to me should be her just walking in the woods, staying at home, being a housewife, and being like, guys, I'm just dead to the world. Yeah. I'm done. Trump beat me. It's over.
Do I get Kate McKinnon playing her?
Sure.
All right, cool.
I mean, then it would be a comedy, and I'd definitely watch it. This movie is straightforward and bad. And the presentation was also not real great. There's a lot of shaky cam, which you don't get to get out. You don't get away with that, even though you're a documentary. Not unless people are running. And there is not a lot of people running in this. I have never made a movie, so I don't like using the words amateurish. But that is what it felt like. It felt like someone who was new to documentaries getting a camera, pointing it, and then when it was done, putting it all together and putting it out there.
But
it
there were a great fly on the wall, Damien.
Right. Now, if David Attenborough did this,
then it would be about the animals and nothing about.
All right, great. So Planet Wiener Earth. Is approved.
Mediocre.
No, that is not. No, this is straight up horseshit.
Yes, yeah, very bad. Incense and cardamom and myrrh.
So good night, boys. Good night.
I finally finished watching Westworld.
So we can talk about Westworld talk. And we are going to spoil the shit out of it. So if you haven't watched Westworld right now.
For me, I'm the only
person. For the people listening.
Nobody hasn't finished watching Westworld.
Maybe they're listening to this in the future when Westworld is an archaic show that they have to binge watch and catch up on. And they haven't done that yet.
Do you think somebody would come to the future, download this episode, and go back to the past before Westworld started?
Back to the future, it's
and
not called
then
back to the past. That's a,
have people listen to it so they can, so we can spoil it for them.
Of course, okay. Yeah.
I'm just putting it out there.
Like, listen, guys.
So, Damien,
yes,
you heard someone say West, and then stopped listening at that point.
I mean, you're not wrong.
You then watch the internet just bring this show up to Jesus.
Just
watched an episode, got super excited and waited, and now you have completed all 10.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, where did you find yourself as those 9 episodes were going on? Tell me as your mental state, because this is what we wanted for Hillary. Tell me your mental state per episode.
Right. So as the episodes continued, I was distraught by the fact that there was not enough. What's his name? Black hat guy. Keep forgetting his
Ed
name.
Harris.
Ed Harris. Keep wanting to call him Woody Harris, but I know that is not his name.
Red Dead Redemption, dude.
Right. I continue to want more Ed Harris. As the episodes continued, I just wanted to see what it is that he was.
But Ed Harris was always on the screen, don't you know? That's what the end of the show. He was always there.
Just fascinated by a man that would spend all his time in a place like this, and not for the reasons everyone else came. He's done all of that. He's just like, all right, listen, I'm playing my own special game inside of this.
But don't you know that person, Damien? Haven't you met that person on a daily basis?
That person is me. I stabbed a bear in the face with a knife. Red Dead.
How many hours have you put into Banished?
Too many. Too many hours. But then there was all this robot shit around, and the robot parts. Here's the thing. As the episodes continued and got deeper and deeper into the mysteries and the robotics part, it became clear that I may be smarter than some of the writers of this show. Because they had robots do shit that no robot would ever do. And it's
but they're special robots.
Yeah, it started to not make sense. But then in episode 9, when they admitted that some of the robots woke up from time to time, I went, oh, all right. So they kind of went, no, Damien, we got you. I know that didn't make sense, but the reason it doesn't make sense is because it happened before. We're not showing you that part, but it kept on happening, and so we kept building backdoors and changing things about how these androids were designed so that certain things
they wouldn't do anything. Alright, yeah. And it kept being interesting. But it was the final episode that I finally went, alright, HBO, I see now why the rest of the world lost their shit. Because the final episode is what I wished True Blood did. And they kind of did it in at the end of the first season of True Blood, where they closed the first chapter of the story. They're like, all of the mysteries that you had leading up to this point, we've basically answered. Now, where do we go from here? And where True Blood went is into lunacy, and had to jump off. And there's every chance that this show could end up like True Blood, which scares me, but that is fine because I have rewatched the first season of True Blood about 5 times, and I'll gladly rewatch this show because it's fun. It is a fun show. I enjoy the pace of it. I enjoy the fact that it's not as dour as a show like this should have been. It still feels like the Westworld part of the show still feels like a place that is magic. Like, we are seeing how they build the magic, and that is like they go to dark place and do creepy things to get that, but you can still see the intent behind building a place like this, and I enjoy that.
The thing I don't mind the show at all, right? Mm-hmm. It's fine. At least it's on the same level as, say, Game of Thrones. But so the thing about this show for me is that, and you say you are smarter than the writers. Mm-hmm. I think the writers and the guys behind this show kind of overthinking it. Because it's clear they want it to be this great opus that has 25 million moving parts, and they want it to become the behemoth that is Game of Thrones, right, and those type of things. But in doing that, I feel like they've missed out on so many just small gems of what this show... Because I remember even before this, as this TV show has developed, I have had different views of what this show could be, how it could be good, and they've just told me to go fuck myself every time. So before this show started, I said to myself, this is great. Westworld, I know I had watched a movie before, which I actually enjoyed. yeah, man. I said in my mind, here's how you make a TV show out of this. Mm-hmm. Essentially, in a way, you let them get to the point where one or more than one, many of the robots are broken and become violent, mm-hmm, and essentially everybody, the robots and the people alike, are trapped in this theme park, and they know just. It's a Western. They have to, and you might have, you know, people that are kind of afraid and prisoners or whatever. You have people that almost like the end of the world's end, where you have Simon Pegg walking around and being like, I'm the king, and, you know, whatever. And you'd have all of these various groups just being in a Western. And that would have been, I think, a fun show. They told me to that, yeah, that was not going to happen. But after a while, I said, oh, it's all right, because they've come up with something kind of better in a way. And I can't remember which episode, maybe episode 4 or 5. Anthony Hopkins kills the Risk lady or whatever she is. I can't remember her name.
Right.
But you can see that he also has his own androids. Mm-hmm. And it was clear at that point that also Bernard... Jeffrey Wright is an android as well.
Is a robot.
A robot. And immediately I said, okay, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
This guy is slowly building an android army. I wonder how many of those employees are actually androids. Mm. And eventually he's just killing off everybody that doesn't believe that's exactly what he wants. And he's building his army to do exactly that. And that's what what I wanted was the next episode, because they killed her and that was kind of like the close of the episode. I was hoping. Exactly. And because remember, you know, when she went in, there was a robot being made. Mm-hmm. I said to myself, that's her.
Yeah.
It's perfect. They did not do that.
Oh, Douglas.
Go and fuck yourself.
Douglas.
But you wouldn't that be a great, great show?
It would be like, it would be a robot western horror movie. Just like have one guy that knows, but no one would believe him. And he's just scared out of his mind to tell anybody in this, like in the off chance that they two are robots. And you just like, just, you know, all right. And then like at like the end of the third season, you find out that Anthony Hopkins himself is a robot. Like, this is the greatest show of all time. Kill me now, Lord.
Yeah.
But none of that
happened. And then I actually do really like the last episode of the show for the same reason that you like it. It kind of bookends the whole of the first season. It says, listen, everything that happened. There were crazy things going on. Maybe some things aren't fully explained, but we have officially put a breakpoint here. This is now a new world. And actually, I'm kind of excited for season two because, as you say, it can go anywhere from here. You can almost kind of veer close to my original thought process because essentially what Anthony Hopkins did is he flicked the switch and made all the androids
sentient.
Not sentient. I don't want to use that word. The word I would use is feral. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. They're all feral.
Yeah, they're wild.
Oh, they're wild now. So they can murder anything. Mm-hmm. They can do whatever they want. And there are actually real people who are stuck in the theme park. You might say they're not stuck. They could take the train. And maybe they could. But I have decided, because you remember Bernard said, when he was looking at Tandy Newton's thing, he's like, oh, and when you get in the train, you're supposed to, and she, you know, so you don't know what she was supposed to do. I've decided she planted a bomb on the train and the train blew up. Now everybody's stuck there, and that's why as she was coming off, you didn't hear anything, but you saw like lights flickering. That was the explosion. So everybody's stuck in the West World.
I was excited to see outside, like their vision of the future outside. But I'm fairly
certain
I wanted to see.
That would have been interesting.
But now, and no, it's all right.
Yeah,
you keep
fine.
Me here in West. I don't care what is happening.
Okay? Yeah,
I want to go to Samurai World.
It will come. Don't worry.
Nah,
this is an HBO show.
I want
it
to
will
see
happen.
Cowboys versus Samurai.
It will happen. I don't
happen.
Want to see
it
either, but it will.
Pretend
Damian,
like it's not already
it's an
a
HBO show where they have done shows called True Blood and Game of Thrones. It's going to happen.
I just want them to focus.
But I do like the last episode because at least it says to you, all right, we are essentially going to have to know. Normalize ourselves. We're going to have to find out what the new norm is, find a new equilibrium for what this show is. And that's exciting. It's really cool to not know, right? So when you get to the end of a season of, let's say, The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, you know that the next season is going to be more Walking Dead or more Game of... You don't know really what's happening in this show. Clearly, there are certain themes that are going to be constant, but there are a lot of avenues that it can take, you know?
So,
what's going on here, Andrew?
Yes.
I saw some Westworld, and by some, I mean all of it. I think I've come to the decision that Westworld is okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, so you haven't thrown yourself on the pyre of Westworld.
Right? Because I've spoken about this a little bit before, especially
you
with
hate
HBO
Westerns.
Shows.
Okay,
I hate Westerns. Fair enough. With all the HBO shows, that I've come to recognize the system by which HBO goes by, which I think more than most of the shows that I love, the sentence doesn't make sense. unlike the shows that I love, HBO tends to do this thing where they are the most and then show creators I might have seen in a long while. Where when they're writing their shows, they just kind of keep going as far as they can, and then they go and then another thing happens. and you're just kind of in this spiraling loop of just things happening. And I'm not, and you being someone who's come on here and talked about shows that things don't happen, like, for me, it's not just a thing happened and I saw a cool fight, which is good in itself. Like, it can't, like, I watch a lot of shows which things just happen and there's not much to it, and I'm entertained and I'm happy, and I'm sure I'll keep watching Westworld in that vein, but it's not a show that's wowed me. Like, I remember when the first episode happened, like, my mind was just buzzing with shit, going like, this show is all about video games, right? And it's just going to explore what it's like to be a video game player, except they're going to put it in a supposed real park that you can play around in and stuff. But as the show continued, it diverted away from that and just became all of those sub-stories. And then you had this whole thing with Ford and his narrative that they showed you what it was at the end, but to be quite honest, I have no fucking clue what importance that was, other than
Like, you haven't really seen the narrative.
No, as far as I'm concerned, you have. Ford's narrative wasn't this massive new Indian thing that it's they kept talking
the
about.
Robots be wild.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Ford's narrative was everything that you saw. It was Tandy Newton waking up and becoming sentient and going on the train. It was Bernard kind of going crazy and doing all the things that he did.
Right, waking
it
up
was,
again.
Yeah, it was. Ford's narrative was, how do I get this? How do I make this world a true world in and of itself? How do I give them what Arthur wanted? Or was it Arnold? Is it Arnold,
Arnold
or Arthur?
Arnold.
What Arnold wanted for them, essentially. So there may be like some remnants going forward. I don't think there are, but I feel like the narrative was the outside stuff, not the in-park stuff. He never cared about that. It was just it was all a ruse
to get to this point, to have the role, because he even said that the robots needed time to he's like, listen, if the whole world finds out that you guys can think and move and do things on your own, they're not going to react how you think they're going to react. They're going to come for you. And so you guys needed time to understand how terrible humans are. So now when I let you loose, you will be ready for what is about to happen. And what I want for the rest of this show, since the thing that me and Douglas wanted when Bernard was revealed to be a robot is definitely not happening now, I want this to be what I wanted that Jurassic Park movie to be, which it didn't do. I wanted them to go, oh, the park is compromised. We have to shut this shit down. I want military versus robots.
Why
but
is it you love military as your option for things?
Listen. Because the military, like
you can imagine the worst thing in your head, and you're like, I just want to see the military versus that.
Because I have context for how a military would react to a certain situation. And I want the writers to write around that. I don't want the military because I heart the military. That is not it. I want something.
I think it's
because
you
world.
Like bullets.
No. But that is the thing. They're going to show up with guns and the robots won't have any, right? And their guns are shitty guns that won't affect the humans because of what of reasons. But the robots will be able to outthink them. I want military might versus smarter robots. Essentially what the Planet of the Apes movie is, the second Planet of the Apes movie was, where it was the military and people with a lot of guns versus these monkeys. And I want to see the back and forth, because it's a vast environment and they need to ensure that none of them gets out, because one robot in the wild could do no end to that of damage. So I want to see them be tactical in the way we think military is tactical, and then have the writers write them around all of that. That is what I want. Not just, hey, because HBO is not going to spend
I mean, at this point, they could. They have a vast amount of money. But you don't want it to be military on one side, robots on the other, and those bullets flying across. How many episodes will that sustain you? One, maybe two episodes, just non-stop gunfire? No, it's not what I want. But I'm interested to see where it goes. I don't think they're going to make the show I want, though.
No, of course not. They've proved to me that they're not going. They have a direct link to my brain, uh-huh. and they analyze everything, even what I don't realize I want, mm-hmm. and they say, no, I'll do something else.
Or show me what happens after the military loses. Like, it's the same thing with Game of Thrones. You thought that I wanted to see the fight. I don't give a shit about the fight. But getting the fight out of the way moves all the little people in the fringes of Game of Thrones that I don't give any fucks about. All of those people can be washed away in one motion. Just, the frozen things attacked. And no. No, let us move on.
Yeah. And I just want to also clarify
it's
something
like the
because
in Walking Dead, like when they attack a place that they're uh-huh. fortified, then they're forced to move the shore. I don't want to see them farming in a prison. It's not what I come to Game of Thrones. That is madness. And I don't want to see them milking cows on a farm. Have the zombies roll through and move this shit along. I don't want it.
Yeah. I mean,
you do realize between zombies coming through, they have to be somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't want them to be somewhere that changes what the show is. If they're there too long, then it becomes boring. Like, how many times can one zombie crawl through a fence and attack one person?
No, but what is the show in your mind then?
The show is about them surviving the apocalypse by constantly, because you understand that there's billions of dead people on Earth and it's very few people who are alive. So finding a place to fortify is always dangerous. So if they're like the place that they were in season 6, the community, right? What was interesting about that was the idea that, all right, they can generate power and unlimited amount of food, but in order to save all these people, they're going to have to go on runs. So I thought that the show was just going to be about them going on runs and them having to go further and further and further away, right? And expose themselves to more and more danger because of the distance they're trying. So while they always come back to the same place, it means that they have to keep pushing further out. But that is not what that show became. A zombie jumped a fence, some idiot opened a door, some random people who are also alive are trying to murder the other alive people. And you went, I don't think any of that would have happened. People, like, The Walking Dead has the problem that, like, a lot of people think that in an apocalypse that people segregate, like, split off. But that is not what happens. When tragedy strikes, the people that are the survivors come together, because that is how you build after the thing. But Walking Dead world, no. it's man for themselves in this apocalypse. That would never happen. Everyone would come together and protect one another. There would be no point in separate factions fighting each other amidst a zombie apocalypse. That would never happen. But the show is fun because you never really have to pay attention to that, because they're always move. The show just comes up with excuses for them to keep moving. As long as they're moving, anyone can be a threat. That is fine. That is what, like, I just want the show to, it's a show, just move on. I don't want it to become a soap opera. Who likes who and who? None of that. Move the shit along. But I thoroughly enjoyed Westworld. Like, the 10 episodes disappeared. Like, I started watching them, and then they were finished, and I was upset. And what do you do when you're upset? You watch Dragon Ball.
Yeah, of course. And
get even more upset. But this new
party
season...
Party pooper.
This new season is...
I keep seeing a certain someone post, like, images of Dragon Ball going on. And I'm like, holy shit, they're making more Dragon Ball. Yeah. I'm never watching that.
You shouldn't. I can't help myself. Like Anthony Weiner, I don't think I can.
You're a pathological Dragon Ball Z watcher.
Hold on, what is this one called?
Dragon Ball Super.
So it was Dragon Ball, then Dragon Ball Z, then Dragon Ball GT.
Which they're pretending never happened. And now it's Dragon Ball Super.
Yes. How many years has it been since GT to know?
Like
to this?
10?
10 years.
At least.
Okay. Why are you people watching these things?
No, it's bad. I just can't, like... It says Dragon Ball on it. Mm. And I think part of the reason is the Dragon Ball Z abridged thing that I started watching. I enjoy that because it is mocking all the dumb shit that my teenage brain didn't recognize was stupid. But now as an adult watching this show where they're taking everything serious, I just stare at it like...
Does it still take 10 episodes to win a fight?
Yeah, dog.
Okay, cool.
It is trash. and they do the same thing that they always did where
Kamehameha.
No. like the power thing doesn't make any sense. Like from character to character, you're like the show doesn't follow its own logic. Like, alright, a Super Saiyan is this, and then a this is this, and this should be more powerful than that. And then once the fighting starts, everybody's like on the same level as people who should never have been able to stand in a fight, just let us fight. And then they're like, all right, power levels. And you're just like, I should stop watching this. Some of the fighting looks good though, but it's bad. You would never have.
And nope,
there's no way. You're busy not watching documentaries. You guys should watch Planet Earth.
I have another documentary I want to watch.
All 6 episodes are Planet Earth 2. Hopefully Attenborough lives long enough to give me a Planet Earth 3 in 10 more years, but he's like 1,000, so I doubt it. But
you can nominate yourself to do it for him.
Here's the thing, I'm black. And a lot of those animals are places that black people don't go to.
They can just tell them to send you the footage and you can do the...
All right. I can watch it myself.
And do the voiceover. Mm-hmm. They send you the script. And
in a world.
First there were is rabbits. There anything else we want to talk about other than Westworld?
How excited you guys are for Star Wars?
Very.
Okay.
By the time you hear us next time, we would have seen Star Wars, hopefully.
How many times do you think?
Are you really that excited?
I am.
Wow.
Douglas, don't front. Douglas, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to pretend like you're not.
No, listen.
Jumping up and down.
I want to watch a movie. There's a difference between wanting to watch a movie and being super excited for
Douglas,
a movie.
How much times did you watch the last one, which was bad?
Like 2 or 3 times.
And how much times do you normally watch movies?
Are we talking about Chef? So listen, right? No, here's the deal. Here's how you
if
know.
If you heard Chef 2, what would you do?
Oh.
Exactly. So you don't get to front like
no. Star but Wars what I'm saying, no. But what I'm saying is. Star Wars wasn't like that for me. So, yes, I did like Star Wars. And
keep watching Star
it
Wars.
It was a situation where I was okay on Star Wars the first time. Then I watched it again. And actually, I did rather like it. But it's not... And this sounds weird because... Whatever. But I didn't like it as much as I like Chef. Or A Knight's Tale. It's not one of those movies where... I literally sit down and just watch it for ages.
But this one has a chance to be good.
It does. Mm-hmm. And I'd like it to be good. But I'm
Gareth
not
Edwards
one of those...
is doing this, right?
Yeah.
You know what he made?
Monsters.
Uh-huh. And
no,
Godzilla.
He made monsters.
Say it.
Monsters.
Oh, I hate that movie so much. Like I'm looking forward to this not just because of Star Wars. But because of the Gareth Edwards link, where like I'm looking at this and as I see it, I'm like, I imagine that guy who makes movies about giant monsters versus tiny people, where we're now going to actually for the first time feel an immensity of scale about a Death Star, right? Because like as much as I enjoy the last one, when you watch that movie, even though they're like, this was the Death Star, and this is our Death Planet thing. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, other than that one scene which threw it away, the whole of that movie, you don't ever feel like that thing is any different than a regular everyday Death Star, where you're like, yeah, it can blow shit up.
I just want a dark Star Wars movie.
Why, like, do you need it to be dark?
Because all That's the racist. Other ones have... Fine. All the other ones have been filled with whimsy.
That's what I love.
Not Empire Strikes Back.
It also was filled with
There's whimsy in there.
Listen, man.
It's darker, listen, though. Yoda, it's darker. Yeah,
right. And it's the one that everyone loves.
Damien. No, we've gotten to the point of movies and blockbusters.
When I said dark, I don't mean...
I'm Batman.
All right, cool. I just didn't want
I just
to
mean
that.
One that takes the ramifications of the things that are happening serious.
Oh, you when mean you like murder, Keanu?
Yes.
So, okay, our
when
question.
When you murder an entire planet and have a guy freeze, or I don't even, a light bullet or whatever it is, and then you just move on to jokes. You know, you're like, that is for, like, they're murdering all those people, and then you just move on. Like, bloodstained hand on mask, and then they're just like, jokes for the rest of the, how about jokes, guys, jokes? And then just jokes for the rest of it. And then right at the end, they're like, listen, he's going to kill her, except there's no way, because this is the first movie, and they're going to make 19 trillion more. So, let us try to build tension while you know nothing is going to happen. That's not what I want. I want these characters that no one knows or cares about, who are disposable.
I care about them.
Cool. Who are disposable to be in a movie where anything could happen, but I want them to take it serious. I don't want Harrison Ford jokes and shooting from the hip and sexually abusing women. That is not what. When you grab a woman and kiss her, and she, that's not a thing. Like, that's not how it works. That's how he did all the time. That is harassment, is what that is. But it was the 80s. You can harass women in the 80s.
Harassment.
Yeah.
Like Harrison.
Harris. Right. Harrisonment. Harassment. I want a movie that has some amount of stakes. Like something that could happen that I wouldn't have imagined.
I'm going to leave you alone because I can't bother.
No, yeah, it's fine. No, guys, listen.
No, like, I'm not making the movie.
They are making a movie for me, right? I am not the target audience for this movie.
Let me ask you a question, right?
They know who they're making this movie.
The question I want to ask you, right? You want a world that takes it seriously. You want a world with stakes. You want but this movie specifically, not necessarily, like, maybe we should be talking about Star Wars 8 and 9 and all that shit, right? But this movie that we're going to be seeing in the coming week, Rogue One, which is the prequel to A New Hope, which we already know is the story of the girl doing the mission that made them know how to blow up the Death Star, right?
Did she survive?
We know everything, pretty much.
So she survived. But none of the other people that are in this movie, none of them have to. Right. Like, it's not, like, knowing that she lives is not my, it is just, like, the movies, all of the movies always felt, like, cartoonish. Like, all right, let me put it this way. When Mufasa died in The Lion King, you felt
whoa.
Right, spoilers.
Hold on. let's back up for a second. Damien says, you know what? These movies all felt cartoonish.
Right.
Fast forward, he says, you know what they should look at?
Cartoon.
Lion King the cartoon.
Right. No, but that's, I'm saying, right? In that, things happened that you felt that made you feel sad. I mean, maybe you guys felt sad while watching the Star Wars movies. I don't know. I swear shit didn't. I knew that all
Yoda
of the
died.
Things. Alright, never.
Alright, I'm playing with you.
But yeah, no, actually, I see where he's coming from, though. I mean, so Star Wars has become this very whimsical is a good word that you used, franchise, but with titles like Rogue One, which are detached a little bit from the core, with characters that, unless you're a super Star Wars guy, you're not going to say, I don't know who any of these people are.
Look, if you read
shut up, the fan fiction, right? Did you just say fan fiction?
I said fan fiction.
Okay, shut up. You know, they can do a lot. they can do a lot with those people. They can,
and none of them are super. Like none of them are. I was going to call them superheroes, but what are the lightsaber wielding Jedi's? None of them are Jedi's.
Well, maybe some are. I don't know, but they can be whatever.
Not talking like the girl in this one.
I don't know. I have no clue.
Okay,
but that's why I know him.
Yes, of course, that's why you know him.
Okay,
where else would you know him from?
I just know
he was also in the Grandmaster, which is horrendous.
I saw him in the trailer, and I said he looks familiar, and I couldn't really take it from there. Andrew said to me,
intellectual property, man.
Yeah, Andrew said to me the last time I saw it. Oh yeah, he's a martial arts movie star, and I was like, I guess I've seen him in movies, and it's not until he said those words that. But yeah, you can do a lot with these people. You can kill them, you can make them bad, you can make them good, you can, whatever you want, and it can become an interesting different kind of movie. It could still be another whimsical movie, it could be a super serious movie, it could be something in between, whatever it is.
Probably is going to be super, because why change the formula? Like, they made so much money that, and making a movie for people who don't really like Star Wars is probably the wrong road to go down. Right? You know what? Three people don't like the Star Wars movies.
We need their money.
Yeah, we need. And we've got all the money except theirs.
And the thing about a movie like this is, as much as they don't want it to happen, as much as I'm sure they lean very heavily on the director and the team for it not to happen, this movie can fail and not affect the core Star Wars thing.
Arc.
Right? So this movie could make $0. People could hate it. And they say, well, we screwed up.
Episode 8.
Yeah. You know?
No, the Han Solo movie we're bringing out, I don't know what's happening with that anymore. But
get ready. And you have to assume that at some point some will fail.
Well, but no, you see, and even that movie, it wouldn't affect that one because it's this Rogue One. Who is Rogue One? I don't know any other names of the characters in this movie, so it is what it is. A Han Solo is a Han Solo movie. It will be just like the other ones.
It's basically Star Wars without the Star Wars.
Exactly. And it's just, it's essentially Indiana Jones in space. That's what that movie is probably going to be. And that will do real well.
Can there be a crossover with Star Wars and the Fast and Furious movies?
When you get there, when Fast and Furious gets to space eventually, they'll fly past the Millennial Falcon.
Yeah, they're just going to be beat, like some ship will appear out of nowhere.
It'd be like take Fast Stars and Furious Wars.
Take
or
them
something.
Up and like we've been watching you guys from a galaxy far, far away. We need your help.
Dom is like family.
The Star Family.
And then Star and the Guardians of the Galaxy appear, and they're like, "You called?"
No, we didn't. No, we did not.
All right, guys, I think that's about it.
You drink a Corona with them, though.
Absolutely.
Never Corona. No. Fuck Corona.
Watching boats and planes, green white.